The Chinese Trader Rhino Man, 9 January 2005. In 1993 and 1994, I worked in Malawi, where I developed the Civil Service Personnel Management Information System. It was one of the more interesting postings that my wife and I had. We met a number of interesting couples with whom we are still in contact. We lived in Malawi near the end of dictator Hastings Kamuzu Banda's reign. The U.S. had supported this dictator throughout the Cold War. He was on our side, so we turned a blind eye to his activities as the Crocodile King, feeding his enemies to crocodiles in the Shiri River. Banda ran a very tight ship. He was a medical doctor who had worked in Ghana early in his career and then in the UK as an abortion doctor. After Malawian independence in the 1960s, he was called back to Malawi to serve as president. He was one of the few educated Malawians in the world at that time. Banda set up the Kamuzu Institute, which provided a classical British education, Latin, Greek, and the like, to merit-selected students from all over the country. No male, Malawian or foreign, was allowed to have hair covering his ears, and women were forbidden to wear pants. The paved roads had few or no potholes, and there was no trash strewn around as is typical of most of Africa. The principal reason why life was so interesting in Malawi is that there was no television and no movie theaters. For social recreation, the main activity was dinner parties. Every week we attended one or hosted one. During these parties, interesting people engaged in interesting conversation. The level of the conversation reminded me of Eleanor Roosevelt's remark, "Intelligent people talk about ideas, average people talk about current events, and small people talk about other people." For a diversion, we hosted a couple of How to Host a Murder parties, which were a big hit. This past Easter, my wife and I drove over to Lilongwe, the capital of Malawi, to visit some of our friends who still live there. These friends are in the tobacco industry, which is one of the mainstays of the Malawian economy. While we visited our friends, we asked about some of the other friends that we had had during our stay there. One couple was from Taiwan. She was the daughter of a very wealthy industrialist, and he was in import-export. They were very friendly to us. We attended a delightful karaoke party at their home one evening, and they let us stay at their home after our household goods were packed up and we were waiting to leave. Our hostess told us that our friends were gone, had fled the country. After many years in the country, some rather suspicious happenings occurred, and people started asking, "What does Chang do?" Name change to protect the innocent. No one knew. If he was in import-export, where was his warehouse? And why were there never any shipments? Rumors had begun to circulate from missionaries in the bush that Chang was engaged in the ivory trade, buying rhino horns to sell to Yemenis for dagger handles and to the Chinese for use in traditional medicine. The heat started to rise, and when it reached intolerable levels, Chang and his wife left. Chang's alleged activity, and similar activity in all of Africa by others, made quite an impact on the regional rhino population. In 1999 through 2000, I worked as Director of Management Systems for the Bank of Botswana, Botswana's central bank, like the U.S. Federal Reserve. At the time of Botswana independence in 1964, there were an estimated 67,000 rhinos in the wild. Today, there are none. Botswanans do not use rhino horn. All of the rhinos were slaughtered and sold to Chinese traders and the like. Isn't free enterprise capitalism a wonderful thing? Isn't Chinese culture great? A printed copy of this article may be found on the internet at the Foundation website, http://www.foundationwebsite.org.